The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary soul rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voice, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voice, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born.
Good evening. I welcome you to Main Street's 22nd Annual Hanging of the Greens. During the Advent season, we prepare for the one who has come, whom we expect to come, and who will come again. And this season, we recall God's entering into history as one of us and His Son, Jesus Christ. We prepare our hearts so that God will find room and expression in our lives. As we proceed through the Advent season, we pray for the day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. During Advent, we look forward to Christmas, the fulfillment of God's love for all people. Through many generations, we have had reminders of Jesus' birth and the beautiful symbols of music and customs and traditions, so that we will not forget what our God has done. In the hanging of the greens, we share with Christians through the ages the memory and anticipation of Christ's coming. We festively decorate our church with the symbols of life and joy and hope. If you are able, please stand for our call to worship. How shall we prepare this house for the coming of the King?
With branches of cedar, the tree of royalty.
How shall we prepare this house for the coming of the Christ?
With garlands of pine and fir, whose leaves are ever living, ever green.
How shall we prepare our hearts for the coming of the Son of God?
By hearing again the words of the prophets through spoken word and song.
For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved.
Glory to God in the highest.
Please be seated. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father, we long for the simple beauty of Christmas, for all the old familiar melodies, words, and symbols that remind us of that great miracle when He who had made all things came one night as a babe to lie in the crook of a woman's arm. But in that longing, let us even more yearn for your renewed presence among us, even as we celebrate and expect the coming of your Son. Before such mystery, we kneel, as we follow the shepherds and wise men to bring you the gift of our love, a love we confess has not always been as warm or sincere or real as it should have been. Now, as we enter into this Advent season, we pray that love would find its beloved, and from you receive the grace to make it pure again. We bring you our gratitude for every token of your love, for all the ways you have heaped blessings upon us during the years gone by. And we do pray, Lord Jesus, that as we begin this four-week journey of expectation and hope, we may do it in a manner well-pleasing to you. May all we do and say, every tribute of our hearts, bring honor to your name, that we, your people, may remember your birth and feel your presence among us. May the loving kindness of this Advent season and the true spirit of Christmas not only creep into our hearts this season, but there abide. May the joy and spirit of Christmas remain with us now and forever. In the name of Jesus, who came to save his people from their sins, even in that lovely name we pray. Amen.
Pyramids have long been a tradition in the Christian community. They provide a colorful representation of the many Christian symbols. They help us worship by linking visible symbolism to the seasonal themes. We not only hear the themes, but can see them symbolized before us. For many months during the Pentecost season or ordinary season, the color used by the church in the pyramids has been green. Green symbolizes growth in the Christian life for each individual, and each place where the church has witness. As we begin the Advent season, we change the pyramids to purple, the color of royalty and God's reign in preparation for the coming of Christ. Excuse me.
We often light candles at Christmas to symbolize the coming of Christ, to give light to a world lost in darkness. In prophesying of the light Christ would bring to the world, Isaiah proclaimed, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." Of Jesus, John wrote, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." Jesus spoke to the people and said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The soft glow, the reflection of light, and the gentle warmth of candles remind us of the radiance, the guidance, and the compassion of Jesus.
Thank you.
The Advent wreath is a simple circle of evergreen branches. They testify to the continuation of life. Bending the branches so that the ends touch to form a circle further symbolizes life without end. Four candles encircle a central Christ candle. The candles signify God's Son as the light of the world. There are four candles for the 4 weeks in Advent. Each Sunday in Advent, we light the candles from the preceding weeks along with a new one. The Christ candle is not lit until Christmas Eve. The Advent wreath, with the increasing brightness from the candles, witnesses to the light that cannot be put out. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it.
Evergreens have long been considered symbols of eternity, a sign of God's everlasting nature, and an indication that the faithful will experience eternal life in communion with God in Jesus Christ. The Advent custom of decorating with evergreen branches comes to us from the peasants of the Middle Ages, who believed that preparation should be made for the coming of Jesus. On the first Sunday of Advent, each family would gather evergreens and place them near the hearth in their home. We continue that tradition today as we hang the greens in our sanctuary, our church home. As Isaiah 60:13 tells us, the glory of Lebanon shall come to see you, the cypress, the plane, and the pine, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. The poinsettia's symbolism is twofold. The star-shaped formation of the red leaves remind us of the star that shone on that first Christmas. The red flower reminds us of the blood of Jesus upon the cross, the Jesus who is our Savior.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. That your baby boy would give sight to the blind man. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters.
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you deliver will soon deliver you.
Behind many of the symbols that we use in our Christmas decorations come from legends rather than pure facts. One Christmas legend says that the holly was not originally an evergreen plant, but that one cold winter night, the holly miraculously grew leaves. Why? To hide the Holy Family from Herod's soldiers. Another legend about this Christmas plant says that a little orphan boy was living with the shepherds when the angels came to announce the birth of the newborn king. Having no gift for the baby, the child wove a crown of holly branches for its head. But when he lay it before Christ, he became ashamed of its poverty and began to cry. Miraculously, Jesus touched the crown, and the leaves began to sparkle and shine. The orphan's tears, where they had fallen under the gift, turned into beautiful scarlet berries.
The Christmas tree is a wonderful sign of God's love and faithfulness. Never losing its green color, the Christmas tree reminds us of God's steadfast love, which endures forever. Legend has it that Martin Luther was the first person to decorate his home with a Christmas tree. Luther was walking home one Christmas Eve when he saw the glitter of the stars shining through the snow-covered branches of the fir trees. Luther was so awed by the sight that he took one of the trees home with him and placed candles on the branches to demonstrate to his family what a glorious sight he had seen. From this first Christmas tree in the Luther household, the custom spread. Now Christmas trees are used in homes, in churches, and in communities wherever the birth of Christ is celebrated and the love of Christ is shared. The use of chrismons on the Christmas tree began in the Lutheran Church of the Ascension in Danville, Virginia. Chrismons, or Christ monograms, are handmade designs forming the familiar symbols of the Christian faith. These symbols speak to Christians of the deep meaning of the gospel. The fish is the most ancient symbol for our Lord and was used as an easily recognized secret sign by early Christians. The first letters of the Greek words for Christ, God's Son, Savior, form the Greek word for fish. The anchor cross was called the Cross of Hope by first century Christians. It reminds us that Jesus is the hope of the world. The star, angels, lambs, and other Christian symbols are used for chrismons. Each of them helps us recall the Christmas story. Thank you.
I invite you to join me in this unison blessing of the Chrismon tree. Holy Lord, we come with joy to celebrate the birth of your Son, who rescued us from the darkness of sin by making the cross a tree of life and light. May this tree, arrayed in splendor, remind us of the life-giving cross of Christ, that we may always rejoice in the new life that shines in our hearts. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Christmas decor would not be complete without the presence of the nativity scene. We remember the first Christmas night as Mary and Joseph took shelter in a stable. Using a manger or feeding trough filled with straw for a crib, Mary lay her newborn baby down to sleep. Cattle, donkeys, and other livestock didn't seem to mind the invasion of their home by the weary travelers. As the angels proclaimed the news of the birth to shepherds out in the field, excitement filled the air. Months later, wise men from the east followed a star to Bethlehem in search of the baby, the king. With them, they brought valuable gifts, which they presented to the child as they worshipped him. By the time the wise men found Jesus, he and his family had probably found more suitable housing than the stable. Nevertheless, we associate the wise men with the first Christmas night and often complete the nativity scene with the Magi and their camels.
Hear now God's word from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, the story of Jesus' birth. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in this same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told them.
Secret rejoicing, this glorious song.
Please join me. Send, O God, into the darkness of this troubled world the light of your Son. Let the star of your hope touch the minds of all people, and so direct our steps that we may ever walk in the way revealed to us, as the shepherds of Bethlehem walked with joy to the manger where he dwelled, who now and ever, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Before the benediction, I do want to invite all of you to the fellowship hall that way for some light refreshments. It may be your first Christmas party of the season. We hope so. Please don't hurry off. And I want to thank everyone who publicly took part in this and everyone behind the scenes who made this happen. A tremendous amount of work went into it, and I want to thank you all. Now receive this blessing, this benediction. Go in peace and love and care for one another in the name of Jesus. And may you be filled with the peace of God, nourished by the life of Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem, and upheld by the power of the Holy Spirit, both now and forevermore. Amen.